You're listening to an exclusive presentation of XNX Sports Radio.
And welcome back to our show, XNX Sports Radio. This is Jay and Jake today. You can find us on Twitter at XNX Radio 1. That's XNX Radio 1. Happy Waiver Day, Jake.
Happy Waiver Day.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It is another week that has gone by with some phenomenal outings by some of these guys, right? Mm-hmm. There's guys definitely on the waiver wires you're going to be looking at. I'm going to be looking at to put claims in for. Listen, I mean, you see some of the output that's gone out this weekend, and it's crazy. I mean, so we're going to go over all that. We got hot topics for you today. We got studs and duds. We got fluke and fortune, and I think we might even have some. What's up with that? All right, maybe. We might be. We might have some.
Yeah.
So listen, enjoy the ride. We'll be right back.
I'm Jay Rivera with XNX Sports Radio, and I want to talk to you about EMP Music Studio, the new home of XNX Sports. EMP Music Studios, located in beautiful downtown Hartford, Connecticut, has everything you need to record your next music production. With the latest in production and editing equipment and top quality service, EMP Music Studio gets the job done right. Look them up on Facebook or send me a message to get connected with EMP Music Studio.
It's impossible to Photoshop your whole life. All right, so let's jump into some hot topics today. So a couple things kind of going on. First of all, let's talk about Monday Night Football, 49ers Browns. So there was a game last night. Well,
yeah,
at least for the 49ers, there was a game.
Right.
I don't know what this, all right, so I'm kind of stumbling with my words because I want to say it, but I don't really kind of want to come out and, you know what? I'm just going to come out and say it. The Browns stink.
On paper, they are the best team in the NFL. They can't get it together.
They stink. I hate saying that because I get it. They're professionals. You know, they're paid to go out there and do this. But honestly, I don't know what it is that's going on. So you see the performance they put up against Baltimore, and you're like, wow, like that's it. That's what everyone's talking about. This is why so many of these players were drafted so early in all these leagues and everything, and put up those kind of numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they come out this week, and it's just like, they lay an egg, like, and it was bad. It was just bad football. Now, you see them trying to get OBJ involved in the offense more, and they're trying to do all this stuff. But then they put him to return a punt. Like, what was he even doing? Like, first, that whole thing was ridiculous there.
Right. Keep in mind that the 49ers have had a week to prepare for the Browns offense.
Right.
They've been studying all week. They've been really preparing for this.
Yeah.
And I think they really took Baker Mayfield out of the game. The pass rush was there the whole game. Joey Bosa, hats off. He killed it.
Man, I got to tell you, I wasn't sold on the Niners early on this year. And for those who might have been listening, you know, I wasn't. I really wasn't sold on what they are. But in their defense, man, dude, there's some animals there. Let me tell you, they were coming after Mayfield, like it was he had no time to do anything.
Right,
he was scrambling around. I was like, what is he trying to do? And that's the other thing. Like, get rid of the ball, kid. Like, what are you doing?
He was taking sack after sack, getting hit.
As a quarterback, you finish with 100 yards, 2 interceptions, and a fumble. That's -2 points fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever seen that before.
A quarterback? No, I don't think.
So. I don't think. Maybe I could be wrong, but I don't remember ever having a quarterback or seeing a quarterback score negative points.
Maybe without an injury, too.
Right. Like, there's definitely some leagues out there. I guarantee you there were some people out there who were ahead by a point going into Monday Night Football with Baker Mayfield left to play, and the other team had nobody left to play, and they lose because they got -2 points.
That's incredible. Yeah,
I would drop Mayfield. I would drop him.
So let's talk about Mayfield.
Yeah, let's talk about him.
So I'm not sold on Mayfield. You know, Rex Ryan is right. I think he is overrated.
Yeah.
Rex Ryan called it before I saw it, to be honest with you. I knew he was struggling. I know he wasn't the guy we saw last year. But last night really proved to me that he is too young. And right now, he shouldn't even be a starter on that team.
So, too young is a good point, I guess. So, they're asking a lot from him.
Right.
There's a lot of characters on that team. You got OBJ. You got Jarvis Landry.
He's working with all the talent in the world on offense.
Right.
And that's partly the coaching's fault that's making it not happen.
See, and this is my thing. Talent is one thing.
Yes.
But as a quarterback, you have to manage talent and you have to manage characters.
Right.
I don't think he's a character in himself, first of all.
Yes.
I don't think he's mature enough to handle both the talent on the team and those type of characters. OBJ, so I'm going to give him a little bit of credit because watching the game, I seen him on the sideline trying to rally the troops, talking, you know, and doing those type of things that a leader should be doing.
Right.
So I'm going to give him credit where credit is due.
Right.
And the game plan, I don't know what – I'm sorry. I don't. I don't know what their exact game plan was. They didn't stick to the run as I felt like they should.
Yeah.
I get it. They fell behind fairly quickly. I mean, right out the gate.
They were down 14-0 in the first quarter.
Right out the gate. It was just – but you don't give up. I think it was still too early for me, I think, to give up. They started to try to do, you know, things on their own, trick plays of their own, things like they have OBJ passing the ball and running the ball and doing – and I was like – I just didn't think it was – need. There was a need for that at the point. They kind of gave up too soon on that. They were trying to count on trickery more than just fundamentals. And it backfired on them. It absolutely backfired on them.
Right. I agree. But if the pass game's not working for you and you try to go to the run, that makes you kind of a one-dimensional team. That makes you kind of makes it easier for the defense to predict what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that defense, you can't be one-dimensional.
No.
You can't. I mean, they were all over him. This guy had no time to do anything. Right. It was kind of insane. So let's get into these Niners, right? So was this a good win for the Niners? Was it okay? So I guess was it the Niners winning, or was it the Browns just stinking this bad? Because looking at who the Niners played, so they're 4-0.
Right.
But how legit is this 4-0? And this is a legit question. This is because I'm just trying to break things down and figure it out. You look at their 4-0. Now, 4-0 is 4-0. You can't, because you can only play the people who are in your schedule, right?
Mm-hmm.
They go up against a Tampa Bay team first week that didn't look so good, okay? Cincinnati hasn't won a game. They turned out to be just awful. Pittsburgh, they're falling apart.
Hasn't won a game. Okay,
you know, so they're like, this is who they've gone up against. Then you get a bye week. Now you get Cleveland, right?
Yeah.
Now, you end up 4-0. You got the Rams coming up week 6, okay, at the Rams. Then you're at Washington week 7. I mean, again, Washington, I don't know.
Sounds like another win. Right.
Then you got Carolina. Now, Carolina's been playing well.
Yeah.
Right? Kyle Allen's doing his thing, and CMC is just ridiculous.
Hats off, yeah.
Okay. Then Arizona, at Arizona. Then you go Seattle, Arizona again. But they got Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans, the Falcons, the Rams again, and then at Seattle. Because of who they have on their schedule, you can easily look at this and say, the Rams, we don't know who the Rams are. I mean, again, it depends on who shows up with the Rams, right?
Yeah.
They can win. They can beat the Rams. This defense is real enough to beat the Rams, put it that way. Okay. Yeah. Washington, that's a win. Carolina, again, that's going to be a tough one, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Arizona, that's a win. Seattle, that's a tough one. Arizona again, that's a win. Green Bay, Baltimore, New Orleans.
Loss.
Those are three games right there. Definitely they can be losses.
Yeah.
Okay. And then New Orleans, that's week 14. I don't know. I mean, Breeze could be back. And even if he's not, Bridgewater, hey, threw 4 touchdowns this weekend.
Right.
I don't know if that happens every week, but. So you got three losses there. Atlanta, when, you know, Rams, Seattle, I don't know. We got to see. I mean, they can easily go 10-6.
Right. Is that even going to win the division, you think, though?
I don't know.
With Seattle?
That was where I was going to go. With Seattle, is that good enough?
I don't know.
And then the Rams, if they start to turn things around.
They could easily go on a roll, too, and start winning games like that. They could flip a switch.
So, because they have all the talent there. And that defense, they have talent on that defense, too. But
right.
they're kind of like the Browns of the West Coast. You know, you look at them on paper and it's just like, man, look at all these ballers. And then they've been laying some
eggs to the Buccaneers, you know?
Yeah, seriously. So, I don't know. I mean, it's just a thought. I don't know.
I think it's a legitimate 4-0. You know, I would not expect them really to lose to the teams that they played. Right. So Cleveland, I did think that was been a much closer game than it was. But I was just really impressed with the run game, honestly, with the 49ers.
Man.
They had 150 yards rushing at halftime. Like, that's they did a lot on the ground. Dude,
but Breida, I mean, right off the bat, you know, bounces out for 84, whatever it was. You know, first play.
Right.
He just scoots off for a touchdown.
But that offensive line looked great. That looked like the best offensive line in football. The holes that were there, even Juszczyk doing his job.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
So
it was a good outing, I guess, for the Niners. Not so much for the Browns.
Right.
You know, other games of the weekend, you had the Colts and the Chiefs. The Colts knocked down the Chiefs.
Good prediction last week. Good prediction.
So if you didn't hear the show, shame on you. But I kind of called this one in our bold predictions.
Yeah.
Listen, thing about the Chiefs is their defense has always been suspect. The Colts, a lot of people forget that before this Andrew Luck retirement, people had the Colts to go to the Super Bowl. Some people don't agree with that, but a lot of people did. A lot of quote-unquote experts, if you want to call them, right? TV personalities and so on and so forth, had the Colts to win or to go at least to the Super Bowl. Okay, with Andrew Luck. Mm-hmm. So they lose Luck, but every other piece to this team was still in place. That offensive line is a beast.
Yeah.
They have a true solid offensive line. That run game is for real.
Yes.
Okay. The Chiefs, we know they're weak on that. Their defense, the Colts defense is pretty solid, as you see.
They are.
They were able to hold the Chiefs down.
Yep.
Now, did they just create and expose a formula to beat the Chiefs?
I don't know. I saw Pat Mahomes. He didn't look 100%. Right. His ankle was bothering him. He was out for a couple plays, limped off the field. He's limping around. See, I'm not going to blame the game on Mahomes because he did his thing. He threw for 321 yards, a touchdown, and carried the ball for 17 yards. So it's not Mahomes. But if Mahomes is 100%, I think he's more capable of winning that game than he looked at that time.
True. I don't think I disagree there. But again, another Chiefs receiver comes out of nowhere. And, you know,
Mr. Pringle
himself. So, I don't know. We'll talk about that a little later on. But that just kind of seems, there's no consistency, I guess, when it comes to their offenses, who they use. And I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. So, my thought is this. If you don't have that rhythm with those set of players, then when there's crunch time, when you get into these situations, It's gonna be harder for you to kind of get out.
I don't know. So let's look at the New England Patriots.
Mm-hmm.
They have three running backs, and Sonny Michel can have 50 carries one game, and Rex Burkhead the next. You never know what's coming at you with the Patriots.
Right.
Josh Gordon can have a big game, and then all of a sudden it's Philip Dorsett or some random guy on the bench that they play through. It's weird.
But the difference is, Edelman and Brady's connection is real.
Yes,
if they ever get into a pinch, and we see this all the time, it's play action, and for some freaking reason, Edelman in the middle, open all the time. I don't know why NFL defenses have not picked this up yet.
Right.
But it's true.
But listen, Mahomes lost Tyreek Hill, his number one guy.
True.
So he's got to use these other receivers around him. He does have Kelce.
That's a good point.
He does have Kelce, but he's still missing his number one guy.
That's a good point. But I just think that maybe, you know, spreading the ball around like that, and not trying to really develop that go-to person is costing games like this.
Right.
You know, not having that kind of consistency or continuity, I guess, for lack of a better term, is what I think kind of brought this down for them. Because again, when you're looking for the clutch play or something like that, you know what I mean? So,
well, I mean, he also had Kareem Hunt last year, which was a huge compliment to his game. So he's got to figure. He's only 5 weeks in. He's still figuring it out, I guess. Losing those players,
I guess. But listen, they're starting off 4-1, so you know,
no complaints there.
No complaints there. I'm pretty sure. The Cowboys go down to the Packers. Listen, Aaron Jones, big game.
Mm-hmm.
That was huge. Let's see. Patriots beat the Redskins. I don't think anybody saw anything different happening.
It was close at halftime, though.
Yeah, it was close at halftime, but
9-7.
Yeah. Then again, things happen. You know, Edelman, like I just mentioned, 110 yards, one touchdown. Going gets tough. Brady finds Edelman. So that's kind of how that worked. The Bills didn't take the Titans down.
That was a shocker, I thought. That was a shocker.
In Tennessee. Yeah, in Tennessee. Baltimore beat the Steelers.
Pittsburgh played them tough.
Yeah, they did. They hung in there. So I don't know what this game says about, if it says more about the Steelers than it does about the Ravens. But listen, nonetheless, you know, Ravens are sitting there at 3-2. Mm-hmm. The Steelers still have a lot of things to kind of figure out. But
maybe, and the quarterback went down too. Yeah, Mason Rudolph went down.
Maybe a step in the right direction as far as, you know, morale goes, though. But, you know, I don't know. We'll see how that works out. The Jets got walloped. Yeah. The Eagles flew all over the Jets.
Yep. Cardinals beat Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. There you go. So, the Cardinals.
Yeah, get their first win.
Yeah. So that was an ugly game, too, up until about halftime.
Right.
You know, the Bengals weren't doing much of anything. And they haven't done much of anything either. And this is what ends up happening. They start throwing all these things together in the second half of the game. A lot of garbage time stuff. But great for fantasy, right?
Yep.
We got, who else we got here?
New Orleans beat Tampa Bay.
New Orleans beat Tampa Bay.
We're actually very impressed with the Saints' past defense. They shut down Michael Thomas completely. But Godwin showed off.
Michael Evans.
My fault.
Yeah, they shut him down completely, but Godwin definitely
had a day.
I mean, but that's a 1-2 punch there. That's just,
yeah, what do you do? You can't contain him both.
What do you do? Michael Thomas had a day too. That guy was phenomenal.
Thomas, yeah.
We talked about Rams and Seahawks on Sunday, so that was last Thursday's game. And let's go into this Chicago Bears at the Oakland Raiders in London. Okay. The Oakland Raiders, though, in London, going against the Chicago Bears. Huge win. This to me, all right, was one of those games where you can make or break a team. Mm-hmm. Okay. This to me told me that the Raiders winning it, one, they're prepared. The game plan, they did everything they need to do to go across the sea and win a football game. Because we all know that's not as easy as people think.
Right.
They got there early. They started practice right away. They got themselves acclimated to the time change. And they took this game seriously. A lot of people are like, oh, this is their Super Bowl. Maybe it is. Mm. Okay, but it's a big win. To me, it's a step in the right direction. They completely shut Khalil Mack out of this game.
Right.
Khalil Mack did nothing. He walked upon a fumble, which was, you know, it is what it is. His one stat, pretty much. Yeah. But pretty much shut him out completely. No sacks against that defense.
Yeah, that's
incredible. It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, it's something to be said. Josh Jacobs. The guy picked with the pick that they got from the Chicago Bears on that Khalil Mack trade has a day. 26 carries, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns, and then 3 catches for 20 yards.
If only they can consistently use this guy for 26 carries, because he's been getting half that production and half that amount of touches. They got to play through this guy, in my opinion.
Absolutely right. Absolutely right. And you took the word right out of my mouth. This is a guy that they need to, they got to ride on him, man. They got to. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely, he's a stud. The guy's just a stud. Yeah. Good for them, though. You know, great win. Houston and the Falcons, man. Houston, they were phenomenal, right?
Yeah. Deshaun Watson's a genius. You hear him in the interview dissecting the defense and telling everyone about what they're doing.
I mean, he's just coming off, you know, making all these, you know, telling everybody, and his memory behind all that, just, you know, what he saw and everything was just amazing.
Yeah.
I love hearing that stuff, though.
Me too.
But, you know, Will Fuller, so Chris kind of called this game out, but he called Hopkins having a big game, and he was off by a receiver. Fuller just went off and, man, 217 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
That's insane.
That is.
That's insane.
That's a big day.
Huge day. The biggest, from what I'm hearing, the biggest fantasy day for a receiver in history of fantasy football.
Wow.
That's huge. I mean, 58 points, 58.70 points in our league.
Right.
So PPR. That's a giant, giant, giant day. So good for him there. And then who else had a big day? You know, Carolina beats Jaguars. Listen, Minshew had himself a decent day.
Yeah.
374 yards, 2 touchdowns, 7 carries for 42 yards, but he fumbled 3 times.
Yeah.
So that's never gonna, you know, you can't do that. Kyle Allen, you know, stepping in for Cam over there. He managed the game well, I guess. But yeah, man,
the running back battle was great. I enjoyed watching that.
It's Christian McCaffrey's that guy. What else can you say? You know, against that defense too, because it's not like Jaguars' defense is soft.
Right.
So, you know, he goes and he has a day, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns. What is he, 6 for 9 receiving, 61 yards and a touchdown there. The guy is just ridiculous. Phenomenal. And Fournette had a day too. 108 yards, touchdown. So is this back-to-back weeks for him with touchdowns?
Yeah, back-to-back weeks. Right? With good production.
And good production, okay. So this was actually his first, I'm sorry, back-to-back weeks with great production, his first week, first touchdown of the year.
Right.
So he found the end zone finally. So good for him there. I know a lot of people kind of giving up on Fournette throughout the year. We kind of went long on that stuff and on the game recaps and stuff as far as our hot topics go.
And we forgot one game. Vikings beat the Giants.
Oh.
And I like to say that I called that Minnesota was going to destroy the Giants and get the pass game on back together here with Diggs and Thielen, as we saw.
Yeah, they did. And that they did. Again, another phenomenal running back performance there by Dalvin Cook.
Yeah.
All right. So with that being said, check this out. Question for you.
Yeah.
Best running back of the year so far.
Easy.
Who you got?
Christian McCaffrey.
Man.
How do you, he's the MVP candidate right now. If the season were to end, he'd be the guy.
MVP. He'd be the MVP.
MVP. No,
you're calling it MVP too, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So listen to these facts. He averages 21 rushing attempts a game, 117 yards on the ground, and a touchdown a game. In the passing game, he averages 6 receptions a game, 56 receiving yards, and 34.5 fantasy points a game. That's an MVP status right there.
Yeah. I don't think I disagree with you there. Dalvin Cook has been pretty good. My pick would have been Christian McCaffrey as well.
Yeah.
The dude, he's a beast. I think he's had one quote-unquote off game against Tampa Bay, which is the second game. And then every game before and after that has just been an outright beast. The guy's 44 points in the first game, 32 points in the third game, 34, and then 52 last week.
Yeah.
How do you not, as far as fantasy-wise, he's definitely going to be the fantasy MVP. He's got to be, by the end of the year, the lead back. Yeah. By the end of the year. I mean, he's going to be the lead back regardless. They continue to if he stays healthy, this kid could do amazing things. But, yeah, I think you're right. And you know what? That's not a far-fetched. MVP?
No. I don't think so.
No.
If he keeps this production up, yeah. I don't think teams can really – I don't know how Tampa Bay contained him, but – how do you contain this guy?
No, there's really no way. Yeah. You know what? But that's what we got so far with Hot Topics. We'll be back after a word from our sponsor. Let's jump into some of these studs and duds. Studs and duds is brought to you by Anchor.fm. Anchor.fm, best place to create a podcast. Listen, studs and duds, we had quite a few of them this week, right?
Yeah.
Some of these guys, I mean, are on here almost every week. You know, Dalvin Cook. You know, but if you want to really start to dissect some of this, I was kind of thinking about this. I was like, man, you know, Philip Lindsay, we saw his name on there before too, right?
Yeah, this is only the second week he's
We talked about that, right? Like, you know, I think we
hit or miss,
right? You know, it's one of those things. It's like you really don't know what you're gonna get. Obviously, Dalvin Cook, stud, right? Will Fuller, that guy, probably the number one stud.
Great.
Again, when you have a weekend like that. Yep. Godwin, it's not the first time.
Yep. Aaron Jones.
I mean, I think it's the first time this season, though, right? I mean, he had a huge game.
He's had good games, but not a game like this yet this season.
This was definitely, so week two against Minnesota at that, too. Week two, look at that. Performance against Minnesota, 116 yards and a touchdown against Minnesota's defense. And then against Dallas's defense, 107 yards and 4 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Those are two solid defenses, man.
Right.
It's pretty interesting. So then Amari Cooper, he's always going to have big games. I think this was more of obviously they were kind of, they fell so far behind, you know, that they're trying to play catch up and you're going to air it out.
Yeah.
You know, that played a lot into it. I don't know if that was actually part of their game plan, you know, if that was really what got them these stats, but I mean, he's going to be part of your game plan anyways, right?
He has to be. He's the number one receiver on the team,
So
the one I'm surprised, most surprised about, that's week after week getting some great production, is DJ Chark.
Yeah.
Where's he? He came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he's Minshew's number one guy. I've never heard of him before, you know, week two when he was scoring touchdowns with Minshew.
Yeah.
Like, sorry. So he has five touchdowns this year. Two of them against Carolina last game. 164 yards on eight receptions.
164 yards on eight receptions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chark week, baby. I'm telling you. That guy. Look, but you're right, though. But there's something there. So what happens when Foles comes back? He's coming back. What do you do?
Sit him.
Do you?
Yeah.
You sit Foles?
Yeah.
With all that money you're paying him?
Trade him. Find a trade partner. Minshew magic is real.
Minshew magic is real, huh?
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. I'm not saying I disagree with you. I just think they got themselves in a little situation. Because Foles will come back this year.
How do you take the ball away from Minshew, though?
I don't know, man. Listen, it's not a bad problem to have, I guess.
Right.
But
and Foles did not look so hot when he was in playing with the Jags.
No. He didn't have much of a...
No. Well, in, you know, Kansas City, though, too, you know.
He didn't have much of a game.
Yeah.
He didn't have much of time to have a game either, so.
Right.
But, man, you're right. You know, things are... He's the number three wide receiver right now in standard leagues and the number five wide receiver in PPR. That's insane.
Yeah.
DJ Chark. All right. Good for you, DJ. You know what? Good point. That was surprising. Eagles defense... Good call on those who picked them up off the waiver wire last week.
Thanks.
You know, they went up against the Jets, and they put up some points, man. 37 points. 2 forced fumbles, 10 sacks.
10 sacks.
1 fumble recovery, 2 interceptions, 2 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
They gave up 128 yards. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
That's a tough day.
Well, so. Yeah, Luke Falk did not do so hot, as you just heard by those stats, but you know what? He did better than Baker Mayfield. He only had negative 1.2 points on the day.
Oh, look at that. Another quarterback with negative points. Wow. Is that a record? I mean,
2-1 week. I'm sure it's got to be a record, yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah. Actually, Josh McCown also...
How did he get negatives?
I think he came in to kneel the ball for Carson Wentz.
He might have. That might have been what that was all about. So those of you who are playing McCown, sorry. If you're playing McCown, what league you're in. So, I mean, those are pretty much the studs there we can touch base on. Some of these duds, though. Again, so we talked about the studs. Now, duds. These names, have they been here before?
Julio Jones.
Yeah.
You know, it's either him. It's a coin toss between him and Ridley. Who's going to have the big day?
Yeah.
It's tough to choose that one.
You know what? This Atlanta in itself, their struggles, they've gone beyond what anybody thought there would be. Mm-hmm. So Julio, 6 points. But last week, he only had 9 points.
But the week before that, the week before that.
Yes, he had two. So the first 3 weeks, he's in double digits. A touchdown the first game, 2 touchdowns the second game, a touchdown third game. He goes 2 weeks without a touchdown now. And then obviously Ridley gets the points this week, 19 points, 1 touchdown, 88 yards. It's only 1 week. Well, the first 2 weeks, they kind of coexisted, though.
Right.
I don't know. That just says a lot of what's going on over there, but... That's tough to see Julio Jones on the dud list, right?
Yeah. And
next one here, DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. Well, that's because Will Fuller had the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, is this a threat now for DeAndre Hopkins' stock after seeing Will Fuller do that?
Good question. Great question, actually. does this ruin his stock? Does this drop Hopkins' stock?
I mean, does it increase Watson's, you know, how he thinks and targets and throws the ball to the to receivers?
Yeah. I got to think about that. It definitely
boosts his confidence in Will Fuller, no?
I got to think about that a bit because it's not like Hopkins wasn't completely in the game. He had 88 yards, seven catches off of eight targets. Now, I don't know.
But, I mean, look at his numbers. He really hasn't had a big week since week one.
Yeah. You're right. I don't know. He's been on this dud list for quite some time now. Just, but there's way too much talent there.
I agree.
There's way too much talent there. I don't know. I don't know if it knocks his stock down, though.
But, I mean, everyone knows to double team DeAndre Hopkins now. You know what I mean? And I'm sure this Julio Jones is getting the same treatment. And the next guy on the list is getting the same treatment, you know? I think teams are learning.
But do you think now after seeing what just happened with... Well, you know what? They got Kansas City next week. Let's see what happens at Kansas City. I'm interested in seeing what the game plan against Kansas City. I still don't think after a week like that, you know, that teams are going to start going double-teaming Fuller.
No, I don't think so either.
I don't think that changes the scheme.
Which is why I'm saying that it might hurt the stock of DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, you're right. I can't argue that point. That kind of stinks.
It does.
That stinks because, you know, that's someone that...
I enjoy watching catch the ball.
Yeah, absolutely.
Does amazing things.
Mike Evans was a no-show this week.
Godwin is taking it. Yeah. Same thing happening here.
Evans and Godwin, they've coexisted. We've seen them coexist. We've seen production from both of them.
Yeah.
And it's just, I don't know. I mean, but Mike Evans is going to be Mike Evans. This is not something that's going to happen every week.
I don't know. Do you think Mike Evans is a wide receiver one, or is he now a wide receiver two?
No, you can't. He's got to be a one still.
He's got to be. I think he's a two, honestly.
Wow. That's harsh.
I think he's a two.
It might be the harsh reality then, maybe, but that is kind of tough.
Yeah.
That is kind of tough. Phillip Rivers and Keenan Allen, actually.
First time on the list.
Yeah. That was kind of surprising to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Those two, Keenan Allen especially.
Well, he's getting like 13 targets a game. You know, like Denver, hats off to Denver for stopping that for the first time all season.
I know.
Their numbers have been great all year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Through the first four games anyway.
Absolutely. That's true. And, you know, listen, again, Denver, it's their first win, right?
Yeah.
So they kind of put it together. They kind of been inching away. To get to this point, but Phillip Rivers, that's not his numbers. This is not, you know, he doesn't produce 7 points.
It's a fluke game, I think. But
I don't think it was, you know. I don't know. I mean, but who else we have on here? Look it. So the same game. So Phillip Rivers, Keenan Allen, Emmanuel Sanders. You know,
both quarterbacks didn't do so well.
No, but one did more than the other, I guess.
Like, by what, 2 fantasy points?
Yeah. But these are ugly. This is an ugly, ugly just passing stats for both teams.
Yeah.
182 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 interception, a fumble for Flacco, who runs like a draft. So I don't know what he's trying to do there. 211 yards, 2 interceptions, and -3 yards rushing for Phillip Rivers. That's just bad.
Yeah.
The running backs had this game, though.
Yep. Between Gordon, Eckler, Lindsey, and Freeman. They had all the action.
That's where all the action was. Well, Corey Sutton, Cortland.
2 touchdowns.
What do you think about this, though? All right, so look at his numbers in previous games. Is he real? We haven't really spoken about him.
Based on those numbers, how do you tell him he's not real?
So
how do you say it's a fluke for five weeks now?
Yeah. But Emmanuel Sanders, he's been putting up some numbers too.
Only first 2 weeks. He hasn't had a touchdown since the first 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because all the action's going to Sutton here. Look at that.
I don't trust the quarterback in that situation.
I agree. I don't either. I don't trust Joe Flacco whatsoever.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Aaron Rodgers, now here's one. Rodgers is going to have these kind of games.
Well, when your running back scores 4 touchdowns,
you don't have to. But even still, I've seen Rodgers, you know, scoring the single digits before.
And it's just who he is. And the same thing with Tom Brady. You know what I mean? There's no question these guys are like the top quarterbacks in the league. But every once in a while they put up these games where it's just like, and I get it, they don't play fantasy. We play fantasy. So they're there to try to win the game.
And if the game plans run the ball, they're going to run the ball and they're not going to throw the ball.
I mean, if the Cowboys are giving up 4 touchdowns to the running back, you know, shame on the Cowboys. So.
Why are they going to pass?
Yeah, absolutely. I think I don't want to say our biggest dud.
Biggest dud here.
But, yeah, listen, that's a major disappointment there. Baker Mayfield, we talked about it in the top of the show. Look, it is what it is with him. I'm not convinced with him. You know, I don't see a reason, even for me, to even have him on my roster. If you have him in your roster,
ask yourself why.
Yeah, what has he done this season? He's had 2 solid games.
Yes.
And then other than that, he's kind of just in the games. And so 1 against the Jets, solid. You know, but they're playing the Jets. And then that 1 against, you know, Baltimore, which, listen, that was a good game. You can't take that away from him. It was a decent game. I think that's the game, like I said, that everything kind of came together. But I think Nick Chubb had a lot to do with that. When you establish that run game like that, when you implement the running back in the passing game like that, and it opens up the field for you, you're able to.
It puts the defense in question because they can run it or they can pass it. So right.
So, I don't know. Travis Kelce, didn't have a good. The Chiefs in general, right? The Chiefs in general kind of, you know, as a whole.
Right.
You know, kind of dudded out. And then the Bears defense. You're absolutely right. That was.
Bears defense, that was.
That was a definite dud performance.
I think that was something nobody expected, yeah.
I didn't expect it. Look, you know, I'm happier as anything, you know, that the Raiders won that game.
Like, they said that they haven't allowed 100 yards rushing in years.
Yeah. Right. This was a huge
breakthrough, game.
Listen, I'm all for it. But definitely the Bears defense is a dud. That's not what anybody expected when it comes to them. But yeah, those are our studs and duds. That pretty much wraps that up. Anything else? I mean, I don't know, any honorable mentions?
I think we got them all, huh? What do you think? Yeah,
pretty much. He pretty much got everybody covered. I mean, Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, he had a good game. Yeah. Threw for 321 yards.
Like you know, but not the greatest, but
decent. Still performed under his average of 24 points.
Yeah, yeah. But again, I think they kind of went back towards what we talked about. Just did the things. Your boy Chase Daniels.
Yeah.
About average, right?
About average, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that kind of rounds it off. Tell us what you think. If we missed anybody, I don't know. You know, hit us up. Let us know. Who your studs and duds were for week 5. All right, we'll be right back. All right, we're going to finish off the show with some Fluke of Fortune. Good performances this week, like we talked about so far. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to pull up in our league the top players, okay, that are still on the waiver wire. This is, again, it's Waiver Tuesday, right? Mm-hmm. So people are going to be trying to figure out what to do. Atop our waiver wire, we have a few names. I'll go through some of these names, and then we'll go through the names on our list.
Okay.
All right, but I just kind of wanted to touch on this. So Teddy Bridgewater is on top. He had 31.3 points. He threw 4 touchdown passes, okay, 314 yards. Is this a fluke of fortune for him?
I think this is a fluke. Teddy Bridgewater, he's getting the job done in New Orleans. But like I said in previous episodes, he's usually not a guy that's throwing for 4 touchdowns like he did. He's usually around the 200-yard mark with a touchdown, and usually Kamara handles the rest.
Right.
So I think this is a fluke because I don't think he's going to be throwing for 4 touchdowns every game in 300 yards. But
definitely not against Jacksonville.
Right, and I'd expect probably half that.
Yeah. No, I don't disagree. Tampa Bay's defense, who we've seen can be up or down, right?
Yeah.
So I think I chalk it up to that. Byron Pringle, another one of those wonderful names that comes out of Kansas City that, you know, one of these star performers or non-star performers that just comes out and does anything, right?
Right.
He jumps in, 6 catches, 103 yards, and a touchdown for 23 points. I'm going to jump off on this one. I think this is a fluke. I don't think I can trust anything that comes out of Kansas City as far as wide receiver production goes, just because it's just, you know, every week is someone different, right?
Right.
This is what we've seen with them. I don't think there's been a receiver that's had back-to-back weeks of huge production yet. Sammy Watkins explodes. Everyone goes after him the first week and does nothing since, right?
Right.
And you had Robinson. Then you had, so it's
Hardman.
Just
hard, you know, too.
So that's just the way the cookie crumbles over there in Kansas City. Definitely not something that I see
that I'd go pick up.
Yeah. Right. Matt Breida. Talk to me.
I think he is for real.
Yeah.
I think that is definitely a fortune. If he's available, pick him up, because he's going to do it again and again, especially after we saw last night with the offensive line and the scheme that they played last night.
So, a question. Does the return of Tevin Coleman do anything to drop his stock?
Sure, it does. I mean, obviously, they're definitely going to be splitting more carries, but hopefully Coleman's still around in the 20-30 snap count, and Breida gets the, you know, at least 60%. And I think he'll make do with 60%.
Yeah, so I don't know if this was just because of how things went down yesterday with Cleveland, but Coleman looked great. You know, he had 16 carries, 97 yards, and a touchdown. Breida had 11 carries, 114 yards, and a touchdown.
Well, so, obviously, they ran a lot more because they were up big. But
right. You know, well, you know, but granted, Breida, this was that
his
first
was the
run.
First run,
right?
Yes.
Majority of his yards and everything. Now, he was also part of the passing game, too. He had a reception. Touchdown right. reception as well, which helps.
Mm-hmm.
But I would worry. Now, I agree. I don't think this is fluke. I think it's fortune.
Yeah.
But now with Coleman back, I would worry a bit that the production for Breida will kind of go down. But he's definitely going to have enough to be able to produce. Like, I still think he's an RB2 start.
Yeah.
You know, I still think he gets you that kind of production. We'll see what happens against the Rams next week. But, We'll have to take a look then. All right, Michael Gallup, fluke or fortune?
I'm gonna say fluke. He's a role player, I think. So,
okay.
Amari Cooper, he's the number one guy on the team. He had a big game too. I don't think it's gonna be like that every week. I don't think Dak Prescott's gonna be throwing 3 touchdowns. You know, however many yards he threw for 300 plus.
Yeah.
I think he will against the Jets. I think he will against the Jets. Yes, and. But other than that, I don't know. I'm saying Gallup's a fluke here.
So I'm going to disagree a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kind of call him fortune, not just because he's on my roster, though.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of thinking about this before that. You have a solid number one.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you brought up this argument earlier about DeAndre Hopkins, people keying on him, and this opening up for Fuller. I'm kind of thinking the same way here. Amari Cooper, big number one.
Mm-hmm.
People need to shut somebody down. They go to shut him down. This opens it up for Gallup.
Yeah.
I can see this turning out into being big games for him. I don't think he's a wide receiver one start.
No.
He's a solid two. He's definitely a flex.
I'd say flex, yeah.
But he's a solid two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And you match him up against some of these other twos. I think he's right up there with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So that's kind of my look on that. Only, you know, and using what you said earlier. As my argument, you know, it's possible that we can see, and not every week.
Yeah.
Not every week. But, I mean, he can, you know, he can get you solid 12 to 14 points a week, which is not bad.
Production. In a PPR league, that's nice. Yeah.
You know, so if he's getting you 12 to 14, I'm happy with that.
That's a start.
With the upside of 28 points.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, to me, that's a great opportunity. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to say fortune only because I think the math is there to kind of back it up a little bit with that offense.
Yep.
You know, he's got, you know, some things going on over there. So
I could buy that for sure.
Yeah. So I would if he's available in your waiver wire, then I would definitely, you know, kind of go after him. Just because, you know, I kind of think he's worth it.
Gerald Everett. Yes. I'm going to have to say he's a fluke.
Okay.
I'm liking his production last couple weeks, but I just think there's too many weapons on that Rams offense to guarantee that he's going to get me 15 a week or,
right.
You know, because this first 3 weeks he had 5 and that was his max.
Right.
And now all of a sudden he's getting 15 and 21. I like the trend where it's going. I picked him up myself, but I'm uncertain of how long that's going to last for, because there's another tight end in Higbee who gets a lot of snaps. They have Woods, they have Kupp, they have Gurley. There's just too many weapons on that offense, yeah. I think.
I think you're right. His production is going up. Look, his targets have increased.
Right.
1 the first week, 4, 2. And he goes 8 targets against Tampa Bay. And we saw that game, how that went, right? Yeah. He got a touchdown there. 11 targets against Seattle. I don't know. We'll see what happens in San Francisco. That's going to be a tough defense.
Yeah, especially the linebacking core. Yeah. That's going to be guarding these tight ends. That's going to be a
tough defense. Yeah, I'm kind of leaning more towards fluke-ish.
Yeah.
But I'm not sold on...
I need to see another week. Yeah. I need to see another week before I can totally determine fluke or fortune. Yeah. But, you know, I'm going to say fluke this week.
And I'm going to finish this round off with Gardner Minshew. Only because we talked about it before. But he's showing some consistency, okay? He gives you 20 points this week. You know, what was it, 374 yards?
Yeah.
374 yards and 2 touchdowns. You mentioned DJ Chark.
Yes.
So he's starting to develop something over there, right?
Yeah.
I don't think, though, you want him throwing the ball 44 times a game. So that obviously, you know, 26 out of 44. It's not good. It's not what you want out of him. But 374 yards, 2 touchdowns. I'm kind of torn here because I want to say the Jaguars found their franchise quarterback in Uncle Rico over here.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the thing about that is I think this was a fluke production week. 370, that's almost 400 yards. That's a lot of throwing.
Right.
And I don't think that's something he can do consistently on a week-to-week basis.
So, I agree with that. I think he got this production because he threw, like you said, 44 times. But I'm going to say he's a fortune. He's pretty consistent around that 17 fantasy points a game. He got 20 this week because he fumbled 3 times.
Right.
But I think he's a fortune. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars did find their franchise quarterback based on what I'm seeing so far. And he's exciting to watch. He's really good in the pocket. And he's averaging. So what does he have? 9 touchdowns so far? Yeah, and 1 pick?
4, 6, 8, 9, yeah.
Those are pretty good numbers. That's Russell Wilson numbers minus the... Because Russell Wilson's like what? He's 12 touchdowns, 0 interceptions?
Yeah, so that's That's you bring a good point. You know, that's
the TD to interception ratio is key when evaluating quarterbacks, and that's a pretty good ratio right there.
That is a good ratio. I don't disagree with you. I guess I'm just kind of torn. So I see North. I see New Orleans coming up on the schedule next week. But then there's Cincinnati and whatever. You got Cincinnati and the Jets.
Then Houston.
He can definitely have big games there. Then Houston, then the bye. And then lo and behold, who knows? Foles might be back.
Right. But do you play Foles? We had this argument before, but I say no. I say you keep it with the out of hand.
It's hard to disagree with you. It really is.
If they make it to the Super Bowl, then play Foles.
If they make it to the Super Bowl, because, yeah, we know he can do it, right?
Yes.
That's funny. That's a good one. Yeah. Well, yeah, I don't know. I just kind of think that kind of production was kind of flukish. If he didn't have the fumbles, he'd be, what, 26 points? I don't think that's what you're looking for. I don't think that's what you're going to expect from him every week.
But I don't think 20 is that far off.
I don't think 20 is that far off. And again, I think that's kind of like I said with Gallup, you know, it's the upside, right? You hit it right, you know, 15, 17 points. You know, that's solid production, right? With the upside of a 26, 27, 28 point game out of him. So, I mean, I would say it's a fortune as well. You know, if you're looking for a quarterback, if you got somebody on a bye week, listen, pick him up. He's available in a lot of leagues. That, to me, is kind of surprising, too, especially when you got people starting like Baker Mayfield.
Right.
You know, look, if you have Baker Mayfield.
Why?
So, Baker Mayfield, Gardner Minshew.
Consistencies with Gardner.
Yeah. Yeah, I think you're right there. I think we finished that show off with Uncle Rico taking the ball.
Yeah.
He's making that video for a reason, right, man?
Yeah. Social media loves him, man. He's everywhere.
That guy, yeah, listen, he's loving it. You know, good for him. I hope everything continues to work out well for him. But, yeah, look, you know, Baker Mayfield is heading in one direction. I don't know. Who knows what happens on the Cleveland? But then it's the Browns again, right? You're hoping to see something different out of them because you don't want to see the same old Browns. I don't think that's good for the league. You know, and you have teams that are just kind of like that. But we'll see what happens. There's too much talent over there for them not to do what needs to be done.
Right.
So, well, hey, listen, Jake, thanks again.
Mm-hmm.
That's our show. Guys, I hope everyone liked it. Again, listen, hit us up on Twitter. All right, XNX Radio 1. That's XNX Radio and the number 1 on Twitter. Or shoot us a message. You know, hit the link. Where's, how does our friend Derek? Yeah, so we missed Derek today.
Yeah.
Derek was supposed to join us. Dapper D. So quick shout out to you. Hope all is well there. And don't be a dink. Click the link, right?
Right.
Let's get out there and have some fun. All right. We'll see you soon.
You are listening to X to Next Sports Radio.